and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome to it. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Huh? Breaking news right off the top of the show.
What? Oh, my God.
I have breaking news man David Schuster on the phone.
Oh, my God.
From MSNBC, our personal favorite. That's the breaking news this morning. Good morning, sir.
Hey, girlfriend. How you doing today?
Don't you try to be hip with me, sir. Sup, my home slice.
Oh, don't do
Are
that.
We having a Michael Steele off?
You know, I'm very happy today, and that's because today is Tea Bagger Thursday.
Oh, that's
Oh, wait,
right.
Is today the day?
Today's the day when apparently they're going to descend upon the Capitol and run around and claim that health care will kill people.
Yes.
As opposed to not having health care.
You know, the AARP endorsing the House health care reform bill may take some of the wind out of the sails of don'tkillgrandma.com, don't you think?
I would think so, but, you know, the other part about it is, I mean, I love how yesterday, because they were suddenly fearful that they may not get very many people, and that because Michelle Bachmann is involved, that even some of the teabaggers think that she's nuts and didn't want to have anything to do with her. So that they were then saying that, well, this won't really be a rally, this will just be a news conference.
Right, yes. I heard them downsizing expectations yesterday. Well, yes, and Michelle Bachmann suggests that people run through the halls of Congress and grab their congresspeople and look at the whites of their eyes, and isn't that somewhat of a security concern at this point?
I would think anything that Michelle Bachmann is involved in might have some concerns. But, you know, I think, look, if Michelle Bachmann wants to encourage people to run around and talk to the congressman, maybe she can lead by example by being available to all of us who want to talk to her.
There you go. Well, you know, David Schuster, as you know, you are, as cited by the right-wing wacko website, so one of the wildly partisan journalists that underreported the amount of people that were at the Teabagger 912 things, because you, like the wildly partisan fire department, reported that there were about 60 to 70,000 people there.
Yeah, I guess according to them, I was off by, what, like 1.4 million?
Yeah, exactly.
Last I checked, David, the fire department doesn't ask you if you're Republican or Democrat before they come and put out your fire.
Yeah,
but, I mean, can you believe that the House Republicans actually tried to put the phony numbers in a resolution, the 1-point-whatever million that, you know, the right-wing wacko websites were reporting?
Well, when you put it all together, I mean, it's just gotten so silly. And there once was a time where there was some shame in Washington if you got stuff wrong or if you were proven to be so, you know, wrong by so much. But now it's like nobody cares. I mean, the Republicans have put their sort of counter proposal for how to fix health care reform, which is great. I mean, we've only been waiting for it for what, 5 months?
Yeah.
So what
yeah.
they do is they come out with this proposal in which basically, you know, one of the biggest problems we have is that if you have a pre-existing condition, your insurance company tells you no. Well, under the Republican plan, they can still tell you no.
Right.
And for all those people who don't have health insurance, you know, there's really nothing that the government will be allowed to do to help you. I mean, it's just...
Oh, I know. You know, and actually, and the ironic thing, David, is, and I'm reading through the Republican resolution, it takes more restrictions off the insurance companies. It lets them screw us even more, if that's possible.
Yeah, and it, you know, to the extent that you know, there is, you know, and it will cost the government something to give the insurance companies all these perks, but of course the Republicans, they won't say how much their bill would cost. So, I mean,
right.
it's just, the whole thing is just crazy. Once
right.
upon a time, people would be ashamed of introducing something so silly.
Now,
I guess we're in a different era.
Absolutely. David, so how many people are we expecting today for the big crazy Michelle Bachmann rally for healthcare reform? I know that at the what's the right wing guy in New York at the Hoffman or no was that the guy that lost the right wing guy?
Yeah, Doug Hoffman.
Yeah, I understand there was about 50 people at his concession speech. Are we expecting more than that in Washington today, but less
well,
than...
Well, you know, they might actually get some more because FreedomWorks, which is this group that is run by Dick Armey, the
yes.
lobbyist on
yes.
behalf of the insurance companies and whatnot, they are actually going to spend a lot of money to bus people in to try to boost the crowd. So, they may get a couple hundred. Maybe they get even a few thousand, which is, you know, fine. We always love a hearty protest in Washington. What we love even more is actually talking to people and trying to have a rational conversation because that's where it sometimes gets interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. So, David, let's talk about the elections. One of the things that we really were struck by is we really felt like the media, who's always accused of being, of course, the liberal media, really, to me, the big story was the implosion of the Republican Party in upstate New York. You know, and if you look at the actual numbers, I mean, Democrats won 8 races, Republicans won 2. The media seemed to focus on the 2 gubernatorial races that Republicans won. But there's something I'm missing, but, you know, didn't the exit polling show that I think nearly 60% of me said the president had no effect either way on their vote? So, of course, they're spinning this as a whole referendum against the president and blah, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of the mainstream media got this wrong and overstated. I mean, you could make an argument, and I think there is a point to be made that in this environment where the economy is having some trouble and where a lot of people don't have jobs, that to the extent people see Washington focused on things other than jobs, like health care or like immigration or card check, whatever it is, even though I would argue, no, Washington can focus on a lot of things at once, but for whatever reason, the public can't. And so to the extent the public sees, oh, well, Washington's only concerned with these other issues and not concerned about jobs, the public is a little bit anxious about that, and that showed up in the polling. But that doesn't – I don't think that's a direct impact on Obama at all. And secondly, to your point, any time that Nancy Pelosi or even the other side gains 2 House seats or loses them, that's deal. I mean, Nancy Pelosi, this health care bill that the House is going to vote on, it may only pass by a couple of votes. Well, she's got more of a cushion because Democrats picked up a seat that Republicans had held for 100 years.
Yeah, thank you. Since the Whigs, to me, that was the most fascinating story, wasn't it? And also, David, because this isn't over. They're just getting started. These right-wing, I mean, this is obviously a theme that a lot of people have talked about. This has become the party of Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck. And, I mean, this completely imploded on them, didn't it, in upstate New York?
Yeah, totally. I mean, this is Republicans are in the midst of a civil war, and we saw them, you know, essentially the self-inflicted wounds of it, and it continues. I mean, even, you know, Michael Steele, who has been all over the map on this, who first supported and poured $1 million into the moderate Republican Didi Scozzafava, and then under pressure from Rush Limbaugh and from Michelle Bachmann and the Sarah Palins of the world, suddenly they abandon Didi Scozzafava and then say, oh, we're now going to support the arch right-wing conservative who doesn't even live in the district, and now that they've lost, feels back to blaming the Rush Limbaughs and Sarah Palins for meddling.
Oh, they're all blaming each other, and Rush Limbaugh's blaming Newt Gingrich, and it's hilarious. Sarah Palin, you'll love this, wrote on her Facebook page, the race for New York's 23rd is not over, it's just postponed till 2010. So
yeah,
didn't count. There's going to be a do-over, apparently.
Yeah, kind of like Sarah Palin's political ambitions. you know, she's now 0-2 in terms of going up against Joe Biden. And I think, you know, there are, for all the right-wing teabagger Republican conservatives who are out there, there's still, thankfully, some moderates in this town who recognize this is destructive to the party, and it's bad for the country when you have a political party which is imploding. Because, you know, I think our country is better served when you have two rational activist political parties, and the Republican Party off the rails is a problem.
I have said much the same, David. I think, you know that something's wrong when Newt Gingrich starts making sense. I mean, because the irony is, Scozzafava would have won, right? If they hadn't gotten involved, the teabaggers, and gotten, you know, thrown all their support and mixed things up, she would have won, right?
Yeah, I think if a while ago, if they had, I mean, look, Doug Hoffman was encouraged by a lot of the teabaggers to get in the race and to keep, you know, to campaign and whatnot. So I think, look, if it had been just a straight up or down vote between Bill Owens, a Democrat, and Scozzafava, the Republican, I think Republicans would have held the seat easily.
Right.
But for whatever reason, the Republicans, outside Republicans decided to meddle. They brought in a guy from outside the district, and they only have themselves to blame for losing the seat.
Right. Well, and in terms of the governorships in New Jersey and Virginia, I hate to, a political expert that I am, may I just posit that they're kind of crap candidates, weren't they? I mean, you know, Corzine had a 39% approval rating. Again, how you blame that on the president? I mean, that and the fact that a lot of this was about property taxes in New Jersey and stuff that had nothing to do with the president,
Well, yeah, I agree. I mean, Corzine was hated in New Jersey, and so it was, you know, he had problems. And the other thing about it is, I mean, the Republicans ran as centrists. I mean, and Chris Christie only had nice things to say about Barack Obama. He talked a lot about jobs. He talked a lot about infrastructure and this. I mean, so, you know, and he took advantage of the anti-incumbent mood in New Jersey. And then in Virginia, I mean, Bob McDonnell, if you didn't know any better, you would have thought Bob McDonnell was a pure centrist based on his campaign ads. He talked a lot about jobs. He talked about the government helping with infrastructure in Virginia. And you add that to the fact that Cree Deeds was a horrible candidate and ran a lousy campaign.
Well, let's start with the fact that his name is Cree Deeds. And then let's move on to the fact that but seriously, David, I mean, part of what's happening, it's like – it's the way in some ways I think Democrats are missing the boat right now on health care reform. You know, they're not liberal enough. 70% of the American people want a public option. So Creed Deeds, you know, tried to run as, like, you know, Republican light, it seems. I mean, he ran from progressive positions, didn't he?
I think that's right. I mean, he tried to be sort of a centrist at a time when the people who energized the Democratic Party last year were activists who wanted major changes. And it seems as if when you listen to Creed Deeds that he was sort of wanting to operate within the system, and that's a problem. But the other thing is to sort of to get back to the idea of, you know, is this ever a referendum on the president when you have, you know, gubernatorial losses or whatnot? I remember Mark Warner back in 2001 beating a Republican to become the Democrat governor of Virginia 2 months after 9/11, and I don't remember anybody saying, oh, this is somehow a referendum on how President Bush is going into Afghanistan and our robust foreign policy. I mean, people would have been blasted out of the room if they had tried to make that argument. So Virginia is one of these states where it always, for the last 32 years, it has gone the opposite direction as the presidential election the year before.
And I
think to make more out of it, it's bizarre.
Right, and I think McDonnell really kind of hid some of his more, you know, right-wing views. I mean, if he had his way, I wouldn't be talking to you because, you know, chicks wouldn't have jobs.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the statements that he made in his thesis when he was, 34 years old or abhorrent and offensive. But his campaign decided, okay, we're not gonna jump into that fight. We're gonna try to stay disciplined and stay focused on what we want to talk about. So the only person who was talking about that was, you know, the media, but also Creed Deeds. And after a while, I guess the public either didn't care or they were convinced that Bob McDonald's views had changed. Maybe in part because he showed the commercials with his daughters having very successful lives. But whatever. I mean, it's I think there's still a lot of people who have reason to be somewhat frightened. A lot of women, especially, to be somewhat frightened of Bob McDonald. But in the end, voters decided to cast their ballots on other issues.
Yep, absolutely. David, at this point, where are we on health care reform? I mean, maybe we need to call a psychic hotline together because neither of us really. But Harry Reid making noises that maybe not by the end of the year. What do you think is going to happen here?
I have a feeling. I mean, look, the House will pass health care reform this weekend. That will put even more pressure on the Senate. For Harry Reid's sort of rumblings about maybe not this year, maybe early January, I mean, there was Robert Gibbs last night on Hardball who said, no, it's definitely going to happen this year. I have a feeling at a certain point Harry Reid's going to bring the bill to the floor. I'm pretty sure he's gotten the assurances by the moderate Democrats, and none of them are going to stand in the way of continuing debate, which is the first procedural hurdle when you need 60. They'll have 2 weeks of debate. There'll be a lot of amendments. And then at a certain point, then the drama will come when they try to get the final passage. Will any of the Democrats try to stand in the way of an up or down vote? There's every indication right now that Harry Reid has gotten promises from 58 of the 60 members of his caucus that they, even if they end up voting against the bill, they will not keep it from an up or down vote. The question is, can he get those assurances from Mary Landrieu and Blanche Lincoln, who seem to be the two that are sort of the holdouts? Even Joe Lieberman, there was some talk that, and he's an independent who caucuses with the Democrats, that he would likely vote against it, but he would not stand in the way of the final vote. So.
Mm-hmm. You know, never underestimate the power of a good swirly or a wedgie when it comes to the final vote.
That's also why, for example, Blanche Lincoln, she met with President Obama this week, and presumably the conversation was Obama saying, look, I appreciate your concerns, but at least give us an up or down vote on this.
Yep, absolutely. David Schuster, when I talk to you, time melts away, and I keep you way longer than I think your publicist has told me to, but I don't care. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Stephanie, I'll see you in New York one of these days, right?
Yes, I will see you very soon in New York. I'm coming in a couple of weeks. All right? Tweet ya.
Thanks, Stephanie. Have a great week.
Thank you, David. There you go.
David
Schuster. He's dreamy. Okay.
He's married.
I don't know why you must throw cold Mrs. Schuster water on my dream.
I'm sure the lovely Mrs. Schuster would have a bitch fight with you.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay. Michael in L.A. wants to come on now. Nobody laugh out loud about Carrie Prejean.
Oh, dear.
That's unfortunate news. We'll talk about it when we get back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You'll cheer, you'll cry, you might even get a cheap laugh or two.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
25 minutes after the hour. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by the 1.6 million members of Ask Me, fighting for real health care reform. Love me, my union peeps. Michael in L.A., all right, everyone's been holding in their tee-hees. Michael in L.A., you get to break the news about Carrie Prejean, Miss California homophobe.
On to Stephanie Miller and said, eh, I'll give you something.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, Carrie Prejean seems to have lost her or given up her case because of the...
Sex tape! Say it! Sex tape!
The Republican tool's going to learn that video and sex doesn't make sense.
Well,
this is as well as guns and alcohol.
Michael, it wasn't even sex. It was
with herself.
Yeah, she was dancing with herself.
Yeah, TMZ said, well, we can't really show it to you, but let's just say that Carrie Prejean has a promising solo career.
Yes, I love it. Michael, here's what I have learned. I think God wants gay people to get married. I think there's a reason this story broke right after the people. I think God is saying, Maine, you people suck.
Yeah, really? Makes sense to me.
You want to see what family? Okay, here's the anti-gay. Family values, people. How many times do I have to prove this, for God's sakes?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Michael. Yes, this was the, in case you missed this.
I wonder if this is going to affect her book.
That's a, wonder if all her right-wing friends will peel away. Interesting. Yes, Miss California, a homophobe, 2000, I don't know what year she was, whatever.
It was, yeah,
you know,
year.
When somebody quickly settles a lawsuit, you know that something, and skedaddles, something has happened. Something has. She was awfully mouthy about this on the right-wing news outlets, wasn't she?
Yes, she certainly
about,
was.
She was awfully huffy about her losing her crown.
Well, then, I, never.
Okay, the superficial, I'm just going to read from there because I like the superficial's reporting. Carrie Prejean and the Miss California organization both dismissed their respective lawsuits after reaching a settlement yesterday. Apparently, a sex tape featuring Miss Purity with implants was the catalyst, according to TMZ. The video the lawyer showed Carrie is extremely graphic and has never been released publicly. We know that because TMZ obtained the video months ago, but decided not to post it because it was so racy. And superficial saying the same thing our caller did. Apparently, Carrie has a promising solo career, meaning she must have been masturbating. I've got to see this, just for historical purposes. We're told it took about 15 seconds for Carrie to jettison her demand and essentially walk away with nothing. As we first reported, the pageant is paying around $100,000 to her lawyers and publicist, a fraction of her bills. She pockets nothing in the settlement. I had no idea Jesus was so into fake topless photos and amateur sex tapes. Guess I should start going to church more often. Are they open on Wednesdays, or do I need to make an appointment? Oh, superficial. Oh, heavens. 28 minutes after the hour, Erica Williams, a deputy director of Campus Progress, is going to talk about the youths and the health care reform debate as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Beneath my smiling veneer beats the black heart of a desperate media whore.
With a dream. I'm a girl with a dream. 33 minutes after the hour. Let me tell you my dream. Dear God. See, because we're just delving a little more into the Carrie Prejean sex tape.
Yes.
She is alone in the tape.
Allegedly.
It's very graphic, we're told. So we're just saying, first of all, why does one have someone tape them? Touching
that.
Themselves or whatever is
whatever
going on. And so my prayer, dear God, please let it be a girl that's videotaping Carrie Prejean touching herself, please. Okay, that's all. Thank you.
You know, if you're going to be lecturing...
Just be the final wheel of right-wing hypocrites if she was spoken anti-gay marriage person. Just saying.
If you're going to be lecturing other people on their morality, you need to make doubly sure that there isn't a video of you masturbating.
Oh, dear. All right. Obviously, gay marriage, lots of other things on the ballot. Erica Williams is the director of the Campus Progress. We are going to talk about the youths. Erica, you know the big story. Where were the youths? in the elections on the...
You know, they were out. They were working on the issues they care about. Unfortunately, they didn't turn out as high as you know, most people would have hoped for the elections. But you know, they're doing great work. They're engaged in the issues. And I think one of the things that we learned from 2008 is that young people show up and turn out when they're spoken to and engaged. So
right.
I mean, one takeaway may be that candidates didn't do that.
And I encourage them in my own special way, Erica, by saying, you slackers, stoners, get off the couch. The America we know is going to be lost.
Yeah, that works sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. Not all the time.
But, you know, it was interesting just obviously because this, you know, the Carrie Prejean thing is in the news and obviously gay marriage in Maine, which I found very disappointing. But that is part of it, isn't it, Erica? That's just one issue. But, you know, as you go younger and younger, you know, young people overwhelmingly for gay marriage, but they didn't show up in Maine, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, young people are overwhelmingly supportive of, you know, gay marriage, of health care reform, of educational funding, of a lot of issues that are, you know, kind of really pressing our country right now. And again, they're doing work in their campuses and in their communities around this stuff, but I just, you know, for whatever reason, they didn't turn out, you know, this past week, and I think we've got some lessons learned for 2010 that you really got to invest in young people and talk to them directly. That's what we learned in 08.
Right. Well, exactly. Let's go. Yes, we can, people. Be the change you're waiting for, whatever. That's exactly it, isn't it? This was such a historic election, but you know, the work that Barack Obama is trying to do that he got everybody excited about it is ongoing, like you say, like healthcare reform. I also have a sense, you know, as many people said with the Maine thing, I just think that at some point promises in the Constitution, you know, and the law are going to have to meet here. It is like, to me, any other civil rights battle that I understand older people, you know, are just going to be more resistant to change, or that's the way it's always been, or, oh, you know, the word marriage or whatever. But I think that, you know, like you say, that if you go younger and younger in the polling, you go, it's going to happen someday. It's, you
Absolutely.
Know, gay marriage is going to happen.
Oh, definitely. For us, it's a basic civil right. We kind of don't understand what the challenge or the confusion is about that. And so we're doing that. We are trying to turn up at the, you know, ballot to prove that. But also kind of in our daily lives, in our daily work, people are building gay and lesbian resource centers on their campuses. Young people are going out and marching. I mean, the work is happening. So it'll happen as quickly as we can make it happen.
Well, you know, it was interesting. One of the gay marriage, you know, people voting against it, he was saying, that led the charge in Maine said something about, what's the hurry? Now, can you imagine asking black people about, you know, what's the hurry to vote or to stop being slaves? You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like it's
that's a little bit of a problem.
It's like, what do you mean, what's the hurry? You know, they don't have the same rights everyone else does. What's so hard to understand about that?
And it's funny, you know, I was putting up on my Twitter yesterday, and a lot of my friends were saying that, you know, if you know, civil rights and if the right to vote and if all of these different laws that we as African Americans, you know, demanded and deserved were put on a ballot, you know, we would still be enslaved in the South. You know, like at some point you got to just figure out, it's a federal issue, it's national. What, you know, what is the right here that we're fighting for, and then how do we make it happen? And maybe that's not at the state level.
Yep, I hear you. Erica, let's talk about healthcare reform, because obviously we are really at a critical point now. It's a, you know, push comes to shove time. How do you feel like, you know, the youth, are they going to get involved in this enough to really make a difference?
Yeah, they absolutely are. Not only are they going to get involved, they've been involved. I think, you know, unfortunately, the mainstream narrative was, oh, young people don't care and they're not involved. You know, why? Because we weren't at the ridiculous town hall meetings. Young people were out there doing things on their campuses and in their neighborhoods. We've already seen some victories specifically for our demographic. We, you know, fought and advocated for a provision in the House bill that would extend insurance coverage into the age of 27 where we could stay on our parents' insurance. So that's a victory for us, and it ended up in the final House bill. We're pushing for the same things, even maybe a little bit further than the administration. We're pushing for a really strong public option. And people are doing rallies in their communities. They're, you know, sending in photo petitions. They're out there making their voice heard.
Well, and Erica, it seems like, you know, younger people are the ones that are, you know, disproportionately affected in many ways by how broken our healthcare system is. Because, you know, they like to put out the narrative that, oh, they're just irresponsible and they're, you know, not sick yet, so they don't care if they have insurance. And, you know, and I think it's really not the case largely, so they can't afford it.
Absolutely. I mean, mean, we make up a third of the uninsured. Most young people, you know, cannot afford insurance. It's not that we don't want it or don't recognize the need for it. It's a simple cost and affordability issue.
Yep. I mean, but that's, you know, I mean, I think that there is a basic responsibility, but I think it's all of ours to fix this system, because let's face it, you know, a kid doesn't have insurance and gets in a catastrophic accident, there goes your family's bankrupt, right?
Absolutely. I think that's one of the things that I love about working with my generation so much, is that our motto and our mantra is not just let's do what's best for young people. It's really like, let's do what's best for everyone, for the common good, for the nation, and we really feel like reform, healthcare, comprehensive healthcare reform is the way to do that.
Right. Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, I think that that you know, young people, but it's almost like people on the other end of the spectrum. It's like older people. It always affects, you know, disproportionately, you know, and that's why I think, like, Republicans have targeted trying to scare seniors on healthcare.
I mean, did I read correctly that the AARP, though, came out this morning? Or the
yes, come look
out
at you, morning? Breaking the breaking news on our show, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, thank you.
Save that for you.
No, I mentioned it already, but yeah, the AARP is endorsing the healthcare bill, which is bad timing for the teabag people that are coming to Washington today with people from don'tkillgrandma.com. Yeah,
they're having a party on the Hill today.
Yeah, the fact that their grandma is for the health care reform bill is politically inconvenient. Yeah, exactly. Erica, so what else? You know, what else would you say in terms of other issues that young people are involved in that are most important to them after health care?
I think higher education is one. College is becoming increasingly unaffordable, yet and still is becoming a central kind of criteria for having a healthy life in this country and a good income. So there's, you know, a bill in the House right now called the Student Aid and Fiscal Responsibility Act that would increase the Pell Grant by a significant amount, about $87 billion. So we're looking at that. Higher education, like a veterans issues, the war obviously is still a large issue that young people care about. Immigration is one that we actually haven't seen much work on this administration, but we're hoping that it's coming.
Well, I would imagine jobs is a real boy. I would hate to be just out of school looking for a job. I mean, in this economy, in this job market.
Oh, it's pretty bad. I mean, young people are graduating and staying unemployed for much, much longer than our parents' generation. And it's actually predicted that we're the first generation to be economically worse off than our parents, and that has quite a bit to do with the high rate of unemployment. So we're looking for some major job creation legislation. The stimulus package was one step in that process, but we're looking for a little bit more.
Let's hope that you won't be the generation that brings back the term hobo. Because
I hope not. I refuse.
Yes. Not if you have anything to do with it. Erica Williams of the Campus Progress, thanks so much for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, there she goes, doing the Lord's work.
That's right.
For the chillins, for the baby chillins of America. I don't know what's wrong with me. All right.
Are you okay?
I'm fine.
Brain-related event?
I am, because you know why.
Why?
Because Right Wing World is next.
Oh, my God.
42 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She listens to Right Wing Wacko Radio, so you don't have to anymore. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour, the Dow is up 111 points.
Wow.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Aldous in Madison, Wisconsin, on the gay marriage debate. Hello, Aldous.
Hey, Stephanie, you know, listening to you about gay marriage makes me hopeful that old people can embrace the issue, too.
Well, you know what? The one silver lining I thought about Maine is apparently there were, you know, thousands of people that were working, you know, for gay marriage, and most of them, you know, like in the centers, there, most of them weren't gay.
Well, there you go. The other question is, how many young people live in Maine?
I don't.
There are some young
people. They can't
people
get
in
there
Maine.
From here. That's the problem. I don't know. You know, but I do think that, you know, this is going to be an ongoing fight. It's certainly disappointing. And, you know, it just, I think it's easier to run a campaign of fear mongering and dividing and fear of things that are different and new. And, you know, so.
It's also easy when you have the, you know, backing of the Catholic Church.
Yes, and lots of money.
And lots of money.
Mm-hmm. By the by, we have, you know who we have on today?
Who?
Next hour, John Marcotte. He is the coordinator of the 2010 California Marriage Protection Act. that will ban divorce here in California.
Oh, my.
For those of all y'all's, marriage protection type folk out there that are worried about the sanctity of your marriage and the flavin.
Whatever.
Okay, Curtis in Las Vegas on our friends on the Fox News. Hello, Curtis. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, first-time caller. I'm an independent, and I used to watch Fox News, Fox and Friends, excuse me, not Fox News in particular, like some commentary, opinion show. But I just had to call in today because I was really appalled this morning. I was flipping through the channels, watching Fox News. They had a special. I guess they commissioned the USS New York, and I was flipping back and forth in the channel. They had a lot of the different dignitaries, the mayor, the former mayor and governor, things like that during 9/11, and they were given the history of the new boat. They commissioned, 7.5 tons of steel from the World Trade Center that happened on 9/11.
Right.
But, some of the commentaries today was so disrespectful with the president. I mean, they actually used words like he was dithering and putting troops in harm's way, and I the reason why I said I was so appalled about it today, and like I said, I'm an independent. I voted for George Bush, but this previous election I voted for Obama because I wanted to change. But I mean, it's the same thing that they criticized the other media outlets are doing about the mission accomplished banner and using the troops as a setting and flying the jet and just using the military as a focal point or a prop or backdrop. And I was just curious, what's your opinion on that? I'll get off the air, but I was just curious your opinion because I noticed a lot of people
showing disrespect to the president. You're talking about?
Oh yeah, well, just when they had some of their contributors and analysts on there, and I mean, you talk bad about the president, you've got the troops there on the deck, and I mean, their coverage isn't favorable. That's one of the reasons why I stopped watching them on a regular basis.
Good, I think that's the conclusion. Stop watching and just listen to me. That we watch so you don't have to, for God's sakes. And by the way,
when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea: have a point.
Okay, it was just a little rambly, Chris, and I'm not...
I got a little confused there.
Okay.
I think I mentally tuned out accidentally. Sorry.
I don't stop. I apologize. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing, shall we? There's no need to put yourself through that. We'll do it.
I went to go make the donuts in my mind. Donuts.
Fred Barnes on the Brit Baer show on, this was clearly a complete repudiation of the president in every way, the elections.
The Obama star is expiring. The margin that he brought to the Democratic Party and to their other candidates is gone completely.
Interesting, because the people polled, Chris, in Virginia and New Jersey, about 60% in each case said Obama had no effect either way
right.
on their vote. This
yeah.
was local elections.
So if you,
they weren't popular candidates,
So Fred Barnes just lied to you.
Mm-hmm. That was my point.
Yes.
Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Baer show as well.
Burr.
I love this. 2008 doesn't count. That wasn't the real election. This was the real election.
What?
Because a couple Republicans won. Okay.
2008 was an anomalous election. It was not a trend. It was not a new era. It was a one-shot, one-off
one
election.
One-shot deal. One-off,
where
yeah.
all the stars were aligned in the Democratic favor, and you had a charismatic candidate and the first African-American who ascended to the presidency. 2008 was an anomaly.
Okay. 2009
is the norm.
Okay. All right now. Okay. Oh, well, then I guess we'll take it because, in case you hadn't noticed, the Republican Party imploded in upstate New York.
That's right.
Democrat won the seat for the first time in 100 years, and we picked up another seat in California, so okay.
And there were a bunch of mayoral races around the country where Democrats won.
Historians will be startled to realize that, Chris, that 2008 does not count.
Okay.
Really. You know what? It's worth maybe a paragraph tops in the history books. Whatever. Anomaly. It was a, one-off. Okay.
Do they really believe that over there at Fox News?
Oh, dear. Newt Gingrich, frankly, on the Hannity show on the health care.
She's got a huge vote coming up trying to pass a gigantic 1,995-page socialist health bill.
Oh, too many words.
I think on Saturday they're going to keep them in. And she's desperate to get it through before the country reads the bill and rises in total rebellion against the House. Frankly.
I see. Even though we've been talking about it ad nauseum for months and months and months, people might suddenly realize that Nancy Pelosi's trying to get a health care reform of some sort.
Oh, my God!
Okay. Hannity on the election day.
I think this was a total rebuke of President Obama.
Of course you
I think
do.
A total rebuke of deficit spending.
Of course.
The huge debt they're accumulating. Mm. I think it's a rebuke of Obamacare, although they don't seem to know it yet.
No, but, only you do.
But more Democrats won on Tuesday than Republicans.
Yeah, we actually got two more votes for health care reform.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So, take that. What the F is he talking about?
Okay. Bill O'Reilly on the Nancy Pelosi's
one. From my perspective, we won last night.
Is this woman living in the land of Oz? We'll analyze the spin coming out of the far left precinct.
This is a victory.
Yeah, I know. That's crazy. Because Democrats won 8 seats, and Republicans won a couple that have nothing to do with any bills in Congress because they're governorships. What? Is she crazy? It's like she... What? Nancy Pelosi, you see, is the Speaker of the House.
That's
what
right.
she cares about is how many votes she has in the House.
That's right.
We picked up 2 seats in the House.
So she has 2 more seats than she
Governor,
did on Monday.
Don't have anything to do with anything in terms of making law in the Washington.
Well, yeah,
okay.
In D.C.
Yes. You, O'Reilly on the...
President Obama should get the message and immediately appoint me, your humble correspondent, mm-hmm. his top advisor. Mm-hmm. Like me or not, I would bring a common sense perspective to the Oval Office.
Okay.
There would be no gloating there. Mm. No nutty ideology. No attacks on Fox News.
Mm. Huh. Well, I guess, although, you know, Obama has actually a more stringent screening process than a lot of presidents have had, and I imagine that nasty sexual harassment phone sex thing may pop up and disqualify him. But good idea.
I think that would be entered into the congressional record.
I think it might.
Yeah, something tells me that it would.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Oh, dear, I hate to do this to you, but some Dennis Miller humor on Pelosi.
Jackie.
Joshy. Empty, vapid, nobody home. She's just, she's not that smart. You can tell me, you can tell me till the cows come home this is a bright woman. I don't believe you.
Okay.
I think she memorizes the bullet points phonetically.
I don't get that. Well, how is that funny? Why is that funny?
Well, Dennis Miller's a comedian, so therefore it's funny.
She memorizes the bullet points phonetically. Okay, this once again is another edition of why is what Dennis Miller just said funny? Can anyone explain it to me? 1-800-STEP-12. Seriously. It's another edition of what the hell did Dennis Miller mean? Okay.
Dennis Miller was funny, was last funny on his HBO show.
When Rick Overton was writing for
him. Exactly.
The Emmy Award-winning Rick Overton, our good friend.
That was
comedian
the last time Dennis Miller was funny. He really hasn't been funny since then.
She memorized the bullet points phonetically, babe.
And
okay, why is that funny? Please explain to Mama. 1-800-STEP-12. All right.
And
that concludes a right wing world.
I honestly
today.
Think he was the worst Weekend Update anchor on Saturday Night Live
You've
ever.
Mentioned that before.
Yeah.
Monica in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Steph.
Hello.
You know what? During the commercial break, sometimes I'll listen here on the conservative station.
No.
How dare you?
And
you traitorous
about,
biatch.
Oh, my God.
What they're saying about the AARP is that the AARP is selling insurance, so they're going to benefit from the public option.
They're selling insurance,
like
so they're going
to... They've got Medicare, so that they're going to have to sell a co-insurance, and that's why they're supporting the public option.
That makes no sense whatsoever to me, but neither do most right-wing talking points. The AARP sells insurance, so they benefit, what, by the government having insurance?
So that they have less insurance to sell?
See?
That doesn't make any business sense.
See, here we go again. What the hell does right-wing talking point mean? What do Dennis Miller's jokes mean? What the hell does that talking point mean? It's that you know what that approach, Chris? That approach right-wing callers ants ass sores, and why that means that all government programs don't work.
Yeah.
57, I need to think that through. 57 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and I'm feeling
after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. The Dow is up 134
Holy
points.
Holy crap.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Warden, me, Steph. Huh?
What?
Jim's here live. What? Hi, Jim.
Hey, how did that happen?
Oh, my God. The show almost exploded. Jim sent bits in the last couple days because he was off working on his solo career and the internet.
Yes,
the internet's exploded.
I'm working on my solo career. I had a hot chick filming me while I was doing it. I had to buy her some fake boobs to keep it, you know, interesting.
Were you filming Carrie Prejean?
No, they were filming me.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Well, that would be the greatest if Jim was the one filming Carrie Prejean.
No, there's a lot of post-production involved.
A lot of
Vaseline. Shots of, Godzilla being spanked by Mothra. You know, things like that. Green screen. All that.
It created a whole conspiracy corner on the internet. It's where Jim's been for a couple days.
Good God.
He's sending bits in. Relax.
Yeah, I discovered that I actually agree with Carrie Prejean on something. Marriage is between a woman and her dildo.
Jim Ward, you wrote that in advance. All right. Speaking of, that's just by way of compare and contrast, that is real comedy. Someone will now explain Dennis Miller's comedy to me and why that was funny. Oh, wait, play it again, because we're playing another edition of Why Is This Funny? About Nancy Pelosi.
Empty, vapid, nobody home. She's not that smart. You can tell me, you can tell me till the cows come home this is a bright woman. I don't believe you.
Okay.
I think she memorizes the bullet points phonetically.
So he's talking about Sarah Palin.
Alex in Buffalo, that's funny. Why?
Well, I just like to say I'm politically independent, just for the record.
Yes.
But in any event,
right.
I think it's funny because I think what he's saying is, obviously, you know, the phonetic spelling. So you look something up in the dictionary, you see the word, and then in parentheses is the phonetic spelling that you can kind of sound it out.
Yeah.
So Alex, I always find the best kind of comedy is the kind you have to explain.
Yeah.
Where the explanation is longer than the joke.
You need a dictionary with Dennis Miller. I'll give you that.
All right.
But I think it's funny because what he's saying is that
I get it.
She's so stupid that doesn't even understand the concept
I get
of
it.
The talking
point. See,
the
so point she is, needs it spelled out.
There's got to be an element of truth to comedy for it to work. When you talk about Sarah Palin, that actually makes sense.
Because then it's funny.
Not Nancy Pelosi.
Kevin in San Francisco, that's funny to you. Why?
It's not funny.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
But you could explain it.
I understand what he meant, yeah. It's like what he said, but the way I took it is even more weird. It's that it's like when you learn a foreign language, you don't understand what the words mean. You just
oh, like hooked on phonics kind of thing. Okay.
No.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I love the MOOCs as much as I love you, and for me, this new guest stuff coming in isn't working.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
programming advice from you. That's good.
Kevin doesn't like any of our guests. All right. All right. The other talking point we need to explain, Chris, can you explain the guy that called in and said the right-wingers are saying the AARP, of course, is for the health care reform plan because they're going to make money on it?
Right. But AARP does recommend health insurance through United Healthcare.
Yeah.
So they are making money the way things are now.
Right. They would be making more money if...
There were no public option.
Right.
So
that's why they're for the public option.
So once again, something in right-wing world is completely the opposite of what's true.
Again, explain comedy to conservatives. You need to have an element of truth, and then you exaggerate it. That's how that works. If your whole premise is a lie, it's not funny.
There's a little primer from the Emmy Award-winning Jim Ward for you. We're trying to help.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of things that are funny, intentionally or unintentionally, you know, there is a, what's it called here? The California Marriage Protection Act.
Of 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And you know what that does?
What?
It actually protects marriage by banning divorce here in California.
It would.
The man behind that, John Mark Hott. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I'm so happy to have you on.
It is a pleasure.
So you are a straight married father of two, I'm told.
Yes.
Okay. So you voted against, you voted no on 8 here in California.
I did, because I didn't understand their logic. You know, I had it framed in my mind as a gay rights issue. That's what I was voting on. But then I went to the Prop 8, the Yes on 8 website, and I realized they don't even have the word gay, lesbian, or homosexual on the front page at all. Really what they were trying to do is protect traditional marriage.
There you go.
So I decided, well, if you really want to protect marriage, don't stop gay people from getting married. Take away divorce from straight people. That's going to protect marriage in a much more direct fashion than Prop 8.
Now, I imagine some people on the right are having a hissy fit over this
Newt
because
Gingrich
you're
comes to mind.
Because you're calling them out on the basic hypocrisy of what they're proposing.
No. You see, this is why I know this thing is going to pass. You know, we're going to get all those people who voted for Prop 8 are going to line up behind me because, again, they were for the idea of protecting traditional marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, to not support what I'm doing would be hypocritical, but I don't think they're hypocrites. I mean, that really, I think, would hurt their feelings if somebody called them hypocrites.
Yes.
So we're going to get all of them, and then it's really, really strange. I have got a tremendous amount of support from the gay and lesbian community. I think Prop 8 really opened their eyes to the importance of traditional marriage.
That's right.
So I'm getting support from the left and from the right. This is going to win in a landslide.
Oh, yeah.
You are the original reacher-outer.
Yeah.
Now, you know, Congressman Anthony Weiner put forth a resolution, I don't know if you heard about this, in Congress, saying all of you that are against, you know, government health care, then let's abolish Medicare because you don't want a public option, you don't want government health. And ironically, that went down to a defeat with some right-wingers calling it, I don't know, a stunt and a whatever. But it's designed to do the same thing, to show, to say, hey, look, put your money where your mouth is.
Right. Well, you know, I can only speak for California where I live, and, you know, I look around at the good people of California, and I believe in their fundamental intellectual honesty. They are going to get behind this. I know they will.
Yep. Now, you have rescuemarriage.org. You have T-shirts for sale that read, you said, till death do us part, you're not dead yet.
That's true.
Yes. And I think the big news is, at least on a legal level, Secretary of State Deborah Bowen has approved the text for your initiative and prepared a legal title and summary. It's going to that's the first step in placing it actually on the California ballot in 2010, correct?
That is correct. We've started collecting signatures in the past couple days. We have an army of volunteers. I mean, a lot of these ballot initiatives in California are funded by big moneyed outside interests. They just pour, you know, millions of dollars into the coffers of different groups here. They pay guys to hang out in front of Walmart. We are an all-volunteer organization. I have thousands of people lined up that say they want to circulate these petitions. So when you see someone standing in front of Walmart or the Mormon temple or wherever they're going to place themselves, they are not paid to be there. They just strongly believe in the cause.
Yep. So here's the thing I love is that people will not only perhaps actually be forced to go vote on this in California, but then, you know, we'll get to those exit poll interviews where if you ask people, well, you voted against it. Oh, really? Well, why? I thought you wanted to protect marriage. You voted yes on 8, right?
Right. And we're actually, you know, kind of jumping the gun on that. We have several people that are going to go out with video cameras. We're going to be in front of Walmart. We're going to wave people over and say, hey, we're here to protect traditional marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to them a little bit about why traditional marriage is so important. And then say, you know, would you sign our petition to ban divorce? And then we'll get their reaction to that and, you know, why
yes.
they're for or against it and see what happens there.
Now, John, I have a personal interest in this. My co-host, Jim Ward, is divorced. What would happen to people? Would that be repealed? Would he have to? Would be he forced to remarry his?
Well, much like Prop 8, you know, we will have some people who are kind of grandfathered in, and there's not a lot we can do though, about that.
Uh-huh.
I would like nothing more than to force him back into some soul-sucking sham of a marriage. But if I can't do that, you know, we live in an imperfect world.
So you'd force me to become a polygamist.
John Marcotte, if you weren't already married, I would marry you right now. Thanks for coming on with us. We really appreciate it. And you know we're behind you.
I really appreciate that. And I would like to mention that we're having a rally on November 14th. We're having the wedding march on the Capitol. We're going to march up to the Capitol steps, renew people's marriage vows on the Capitol steps, and tell the legislators within that we want them to protect traditional marriage or they're going to get a spanking.
Thank you, John Marcotte.
And you can find out more about that at rescuemarriage.org.
Rescuemarriage.org. We have that. And there's a great Facebook group where you can talk to other people. I really encourage people to join that.
Terrific. Thank you, John.
Yeah,
you are
great.
A uniter. All right. There he goes, John Marcotte.
It's a little bit of political theater.
It's a little bit ironical, isn't it?
Nationwide skit.
I imagine your current wife, Janiqua, would be somewhat upset.
Oh, she'd be thrilled.
All divorces would be hereby repealed in the state of California.
Oh, boy. Yikes.
Dante Loci, yikes.
Wow.
Oh, that's funny. Come on.
What could possibly go wrong?
What I have to say, Jim, by the way, you know what we should do? We should take a page from John and use him as inspiration. We should get on the ballot in Maine a proposition to ban lobster.
Yeah. You can't have lobster here.
It's another abomination against the Lord.
It's an abomination in the eyes of the Lord.
Oh, we're going to get the guy behind the website GodHatesShrimp.com on, because he's actually very knowledgeable.
He is on biblical issues and biblical law. And
abominational
like
things.
God hates lobster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you like that meme. Okay. Seriously, we should do a whole thing. Facebook page rally. I should go to Maine. Come on. And is it a cheap publicity whore thing for me? Yes!
You know what, though?
What's the problem with that?
I've heard a lot of these, you know, people who want to, you know, protest lobster in Maine and all that. I don't know that it's right to punish an entire state for what 48% of the people in the state did.
And they may have been mistaken, much as they were out here, because maybe not knowing what they were.
I think you're missing the larger moral point.
This is
a publicity stunt that would benefit me.
Okay. I'm the producer. I should have thought of that.
Yeah.
Should have sussed that out.
Jeez.
Jim, I said last hour, I think God wants the gay people to get married, or he wouldn't have given us the Carrie Prejean video at this particular moment in time to give us a big wheel of right-wing hypocrites, right on the heels of Maine not wanting gay marriage.
Wheel of right-wing hypocrites!
Now, Jim,
that's not
why do you think someone has someone videotape them touching themselves, and what... And do you share my prayer that it's a girl that was videotaping her?
All right. I want to see the long shot of the girl filming the girl.
Yes.
And then another long shot showing the girl filming the girl from the girl.
I wonder
and
if
then,
this is before or after she got the fake boobies.
Hmm. I don't know. One wonders.
I think I'll have to do some research on that.
All right.
Let's give Harvey Levin a little ringy dingy. He's the only person who has that take.
You know, Maine, as in California, it was all about the children. It was about the protecting of the children, as you know.
Oh, somebody please think of the children!
Let me go on record as saying I believe that two particular straight people should not have been allowed to have children, and that is my parents. Someone, Jim, while you were gone, found my high school pictures.
Yes. Have you seen them?
No, I haven't.
From a yearbook in Lockport, New York.
They're up there in the gallery section of StephanieMiller.com.
Okay. Details at Catholic High School in Lockport, New York.
Uh-huh.
And that is why Ken in Cleveland has sent us a, speaking of delightful and funny things on the internet, Larry and Lynn in Mama's hometown of Lockport, New York. Steph, we live up here on East Avenue in Lockport by the hospital. You know, by the hospital on East Avenue.
Is that anywhere near DeSales Catholic High?
Yes.
Is it really?
I saw your high school pictures you mentioned this morning and couldn't help but giggle. Oh,
hush. The world is Jean's clothing.
Just because I had somebody in the library found it.
Pictures of me as a small Republican wolf child.
Oh, wolf. An explanation is probably long overdue.
You were dressed as a bush.
The most egregious abuses of medical research, creating human-animal hybrids.
Yes. That was a Halloween costume. Blackport, New York. Indeed.
Werewolves of Blackport,
New York. Yep.
Uh-huh. Oh.
And that
I was a right. Werewolf.
Werewolf.
Werewolf. I was
hoping. Castle. What are we talking about? This?
Jim always knows that I always want to play young Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
All right, 20 minutes after the hour, I was a Republican.
25 minutes!
Human-animal hybrid.
Listen to me very carefully. Put the candle back.
That's what everybody said the last couple days, and Jim was missing. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Look, the two symbols of the Republican Party, an elephant and a big, fat white guy who's threatened by change.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour, the Dow was up 139 points. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Joe in San Francisco on the Ban Divorce in California Act. Hello,
yeah,
Joe.
I really love this idea. And
me too.
I think my favorite part is going to be the week just prior to when the law goes into effect, when, you know, the Herald and Maude are going to be sitting around the kitchen table having that conversation. It's like, well, you know, been getting a little stale the last couple of years, and, you know, the sex isn't that great anymore. Maybe we should – can you imagine the spike in divorces before this goes into effect? I think I'm actually going to go to law school right now.
If they thought, the rush of gay marriages was bad.
Love it.
If they thought the rush of gay marriages was bad, wait till they see the stampede of people going to get divorced.
They'll have, like, drive-through divorces.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, next. Yeah,
it'll be on every
corner. Fries with that?
You can get fries with your divorce in California. See, that will be the one thing that will boom in this economy. So even out here in California where we're broke.
Yeah.
Drive-through with divorces. Yeah. Telling you, this could pick up. This could turn the whole economy around.
Although I don't think it was Harold and Maude at the kitchen table.
I think he means Harry and Louise.
Harry and Louise. Yeah, I was confused. I thought he meant the movie. I'm like, that's my job to screw up the movie references. Yeah. Harold and Maude. What?
The Turner and Hooch.
What?
Huh?
Just before Bud Cort takes the mask off.
Oh yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All right, George and Tempe, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, George.
Hey.
You want to talk about that crazy Michelle Bachmann and her little rally today?
Sure, we got to extend right wing world just a little bit because. Yeah. Her lead assistant quit yesterday, and apparently another House member said, you know, when the captain's crazy, you just gotta jump ship.
Right.
Yes. She apparently has trouble keeping staff members because at some point they realize that she's crazy.
She is. Hey, something else, too. Yes. I got a mailer yesterday from the Chamber of Commerce telling me how horrible this new health care plan was going to be.
Wow.
With all kinds of lovely lies about how it's going to raise my taxes 40%.
That sounds bad.
It's incredible. And it was a really expensive mailer. It had to be a couple bucks. So they're really putting out some serious propaganda.
Yep, they're getting a skirt now, that's for sure. Andy in Asheville, North Carolina, on the health care fight. Hello, Andy.
Hi.
Hi, Andy.
On the subject of the guy in California and the spirit of what he's doing, as well as in light of the right-wingers in Congress trying to push more abortion restrictions in the health care bill, I think it would be great if somebody in Congress would introduce a bill that would restrict any health care coverage from prescribing or paying for Viagra, except for married men. And it would have to have the wife's permission so that it couldn't be used for, like, diaper parties and so forth.
Yes.
And they could call it the John Boner bill.
Yes, that's right. I think that's
we
should install all church ladies in the pharmacy. And if you get Viagra, you must then also bring a proof that you're doing it with your wife.
John Boner.
Proof that you're not Satan.
You're not doing it with anybody else but the little woman. All right.
For procreation purposes.
Exactly. For procreation purposes only. All right. We already covered Right Wing World, but Jim, you may not want to be apprised of the Christmas spectacular that is coming up. It's Glenn Beck's Christmas sweater.
Oh.
We'll tell you about that and get Jim's post-election analysis as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Does he have
Stephanie Miller?
His name tattooed anywhere on his body?
Mm. He says he does, but I haven't been able to find it yet.
33 minutes after the hour, David in Los Angeles on our good friend Dennis Miller. Hello, David.
Hey, so I have a theory about Dennis Miller's humor.
Uh-huh. Okay, so the way you said humor even had quotations around it. Yeah.
And a question mark.
Yes.
So, you know, generally speaking, I think comedians know when something's funny. So if it's funny to them, it's funny to everyone else. And I think specifically for Dennis Miller, his humor derives from people not knowing what he's talking about.
Oh, yeah.
I think Dennis Miller came up with this.
So it's funny because he laughs. So you know it must be funny because he's enjoying it.
Exactly.
Exactly.
No idea what
exactly. When he does the high-pitched giggle and the waggle.
Obscure reference, Chachi.
Yeah, it always ingratiates your audience towards you when you talk over their heads.
That sounds a little more like masturbating to me, but okay.
Yes, yeah.
So,
it's
the comedy version of the Carrie
Prejean
tape.
Yeah, it's something Carrie Prejean would do, not
All right. Can I have some Christmas music just to pry? You know, we're heading into the holiday season, Jim, and it's Julie in Seattle alerts us, Mama, nothing says vomit for Christmas like a Glenn Beck simulcast in 400 theaters.
Ugh.
Glenn Beck's Christmas sweater, a return to redemption. Prepare yourself for the latest incarnation of Glenn Beck's deeply personal tale of love, faith, and family as he presents The Christmas Sweater.
He wrote a book called that.
A Return to Redemption, yes, in over 400 movie theaters nationwide.
Get off my tree!
That's what he says when he doesn't like an ornament. Okay, the evening will begin with glorious holiday music from one of New York's premier choirs. Then before a live audience, Glenn will tell you about the real-life events that inspired him to write The Christmas Sweater.
Oh, God.
Oh, New York's premier choirs. That sounds fabulous. I'm going to put that on my list along with the Radio City Music Christmas Spectacular.
Radio City Music Hall
Christmas. It's the Rockettes. Oh, it's fabulous.
I wish the audience could have just seen the motions that you did with your hands. The kicking motions of the Rockettes.
That's one of the many reasons Darren in Chicago does not like our show.
Okay.
Hello, Darren.
Can you do me and every listener a favor?
Uh-huh.
And say something intelligent.
Okay, I'll get on that.
That's great.
Darren apparently does not enjoy the facts with slide whistle. Well, fine.
Facts with slide whistle. Something intelligent like, I want you to go to your congressman, look at the whites of his eyes, and tell him, don't take my health care away. What?
As Rachel Maddow pointed out,
who is proposing that?
That's what you say right before you shoot someone.
Yeah,
you were
in
the revolution. That was.
Don't shoot till you see the whites of their eyes. Oh, obscure reference. No one could have possibly.
Jim, I was mentioning that. Don't you think that presents something of a security issue? She's encouraging people to run through the halls of Congress and grab their congressperson?
He's probably armed.
Yes. Say, don't take away my health, or whatever she wants you to yell.
People on the right do tend to be armed to the teeth.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Hmm. Uh-huh. All right. Jim, where's my election analysis coverage? Jim wasn't here, so of course the right is trying to cast this as a total repudiation of the president in every way.
Right.
Michael Steele said it's a renaissance for the Republican Party.
That's just the way we roll, baby. We got a renaissance, then we're going to have the dark ages again, and then we're going to have what? Huh? What happened? But we won, too.
He's become the Wahappen character.
Yeah. Wahappen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except
we picked up two more congressional seats.
Yes.
Which will
help
us out a lot.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Aren't governorships, isn't that a state thing? I know I'm not the keenest political pundit on the scene, but...
It has nothing to do with the health care.
No, has debate. Nothing to do with the health care.
Yeah, Corzine was hugely unpopular, like a 39% approval rating. The property tax thing is a huge issue in New Jersey. How is that
And Cree Deeds was from...
It's Cree Deeds.
It's from what I understand, kind of a douche.
Yes.
So,
with a name like Cree Deeds, it's got to be douche. Hmm. The one thing that governors do have a say in is gerrymandering, as I understand it.
Yes.
Which can affect...
Well, it depends on the state.
Future.
Different states have different ways of drawing their districts.
Right.
Yeah. David Axelrod, Senior White House Advisor on the New York race.
The New York 23 race was the one race that was really a microcosm of the national debate. The other races in Jersey and in Virginia were really state races, very much focused on state issues. And we think it sends a message to other Democrats that when we stick together and we fight for the right things, we're going to do well.
I think the message to the Republicans is, yes, by all means support extreme right-wing
whack
jobs who don't blink.
Yes, continue
like
to listen.
Head with a frying pan.
Listen to Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck. Yes.
Yeah.
That is working well.
And
Sarah Palin. Yes, yes, yes.
You go with that.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing, as we mentioned yesterday, Jim, Dick Armey and his friends were all involved in that. And Dick said yesterday that this is just the tip of the spear.
Oh, dear. Dick's tip of the spear.
It is. He said that because they're targeting other Republicans.
It's going to be his bar and grill.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Dick's tip of the spear.
Ooh. No, I don't think so.
But it's just the tip. just to see.
Okay.
All right. So, because, for instance, Charlie Crist is next in their sights.
Yeah.
because of the him
Charlie Crist,
and the exceedingly neat and tan formerly bachelor governor of Florida.
Of his,
how was the lovely Mrs. Crist?
Because of his warm and emotional embrace of the president's stimulus package.
Mm.
And his wife.
That, in fact, his opponent, Rubio is his name in California. He's the right-wing whack candidate in Florida. He is, they're running a picture of Charlie Crist and the president, you know, and it says, get the picture, donate now to stand up for conservative principles. So the race is tightening there.
Yes.
Mm. Love his fish tacos, though. Those are
Rubio?
Those are primo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jim's back. Okay.
No. There's a restaurant called
Rubio's Fish Taco.
Rubio's Baja Grill.
No, sure. They have fish tacos. Well, Charlie Crist enjoys a fish taco as well.
Obviously. Yes, well, he does. In an election year, at least.
Any other time of year, I think he enjoys disco sticks.
And anything related to Lady Gaga.
Okay, Sarah Palin, Jim said that, you know, she was big. She was up there campaigning her, oh, golly, her hiney off for that guy, up there also, too.
That's her best feature. She should.
Mm-hmm. Guys and gals.
She said the race for New York's 23rd is not over. It's just postponed until 2010.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the way elections work, Ms. Palin.
Mrs. No, Palin. That's just, there's going to be a do-over. That one didn't count.
Okay.
And 2008 didn't count either, apparently.
Robert Gibbs said there are two congressional seats that got filled last night. Those are people that will take place in participating in the president's agenda. Democrats won both of those seats, which, yes, we thought was underplayed in the media. Al Gore on The View talking about the election.
I think there's a danger of reading too much into it. The off years in New Jersey and Virginia often turn out to go opposite from the year before, and I wouldn't read too much into it. Of course, if it had gone differently, I would have read a lot into it.
Al was all over the TV machine last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw him. He's on the cover of one of my magazines, too. Nancy Pelosi talking about the upstate New York race.
It was a race where a Republican has held the seat since the Civil War, and we won that seat.
Yeah. She also talked about New York and California and health care reform, which is very important.
This was a victory for the health care reform and other initiatives for the American people. So from our standpoint, we picked up votes last night, one in California and one in New York.
Yeah, and that's all she cares about, is getting more votes for health care reform. And that's exactly what she got on Tuesday.
Yeah, well, that's...
Which proves she's stupid. Clearly.
See?
Yeah.
See?
Right. Yeah, I think she's reading it phonetically, babe.
What?
Republican National Committee Chairman Michael Steele declared a Republican renaissance has begun. Standing next to a portrait of Ronald Reagan.
Well, there you go again.
Steele vowed to recapture the House seat in the 23rd District of New York, calling the local party efforts to select a candidate botched.
Oh, my gosh, a Negro's head of the RNC? How did that happen?
Reagan is spinning in his grave. Are you kidding me? I love that. This is now the eating their own part.
Yeah,
local. It was botched on the state and local level. What did it have to do with the leadership nationally of the Republican Party? Why, you local
idiots.
And it's time
for another episode of Republicans Eating Their Own.
Oh, by the way, when we get back, a great man fight between Rush Limbaugh and Nick Gingrich.
Oh, really?
Frankly.
I thought they didn't fight. I thought they were all united.
No.
Oh, dear.
Frankly, you're a big fat guy who's been divorced many times. Oh, wait, that's me. Frankly.
They can both star in a show together called Big Fat White Guys That Have Been Divorced Many Times. 43 minutes after the hour. The
title needs work.
We'll
punch it up.
43 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And now, here's something we hope you'll really like.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Seven minutes after the hour, noted rapier wit Michael Steele of the RNC.
Winning is a lot sweeter. And if you don't think last night was sweet, you need to go see a doctor.
What?
Because 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Steve in Long Island on Michael Steele on Hardball yesterday. Hey, Steve.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Chris Matthews yesterday had Michael Steele. I wanted to phone Daniel. but Michael Steele on about District 23 in New York and how he said people from outside couldn't get involved. And Mike Steele said, oh, no, I didn't say that. I said this. And Chris Matthews goes, well, then, what, you don't mind if you play the tape then? So, no. And it is exactly.
Steve, are you calling from in the water off Long Island, or are you actually on dry land on a landline?
No, unfortunately, I'm at work. So.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you for calling, and if I had understood a word you said, it probably would have been...
Apparently, he works at the jungle ride at Disneyland.
But thank you for
Schweitzer
calling.
Schweitzer Falls, named after the famous humanist Albert Falls. That's almost Dennis Millerian in its...
Hilarity. Wendy in Chicago read Glenn Beck's Christmas sweater, so we don't have to. Hello, Wendy.
Good morning, and I am on land. I'm not in Lake Michigan. I just have to let you know that Glenn Beck has brought me and my teenage daughters together in ways he could never imagine. Oh. My teenage daughter went to the library. She brought home a copy of the Christmas sweater. She just started thumbing through it and laughing, and she goes, Mom, will you please read this out loud like you used to do when we were little and you read Nancy Drew? So I started to do that. This is the three things my daughters and I learned. One is that, you know, this book is semi-autobiographical, mind you. It really is. One, if your father is a baker, as Glenn Beck's father was, because he's so sick of breathing in gluten all day, you will never have bread at home as a child. So you will be forced to eat peanut butter on a spoon, hence tickling your gag reflex daily.
Huh?
Yes.
Does he really say that?
Yes, that he never had bread as a child. He had to force feed himself peanut butter on a spoon.
Perhaps that's why he grew up to be so doughy.
To be so gaggy. Number two, that if you are a person on government assistance, you should only be on government assistance if you exchange your food stamps in a very shameful, so sorry to exchange these type of way. That if you just present them matter-of-factly, you don't deserve them. As his baker father would treat those who are only quite shamed. And number three, if you're having a serious mental breakdown about your life, run to the nearest cornfield, because the cornfield will be transfixed. Up into the skies will open, and the hands of Jesus will come to the cornfield, lift you up, and present you with a new way of living.
So you should wish yourself into the cornfield.
Yes, and my 14-year-old said, Mom, was that when he was seriously drinking? I think that was when he had his wet brain encounter.
All right. Thank you, Wendy, for that magical analysis.
Wow.
Glenn Beck's Christmas sweater.
If you build it, Jesus will come.
So will the children of the corn.
Yeah.
Come and kill all the...
You're a bad man. You're a very bad man.
I'm going to wish you
out in the cornfield.
Okay. So let's get to the Republicans eating their own over the, upstate New York race.
And it's time for another episode of Republicans Eating Their Own.
I love this. Mike Huckabee blamed the process by which Didi Scozzafava was nominated. He called her nomination a train wreck. He said the process by which she was selected was, in fact, the train wreck.
Ah.
So that's, you see how that is. It wasn't the undue influence of the right-wing crazies at all. It was the whole, it's the process that was wrong.
Because she would have lost anyway, even without the...
She would have won like every Republican has for 100 years if the crazy right wingers had just stayed out of it. But don't tell them. Okay. Let's get to the Rush Limbaugh Newt Gingrich man fight. This, of course, over the upstate New York race. Owen's victory, of course, a defeat for many prominent leaders of the conservative movement, and particularly Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh. In the lead-up to the election, Gingrich had engaged in a public brouhaha with Beck over his support for Conservative Party candidate Doug Hoffman. Gingrich complained that Beck, Limbaugh, and the company were pursuing a very destructive model for the Republican Party. You know, when Newt Gingrich is the person making sense, Jim, something has gone awry.
It was seriously awry.
His concerns appear to have been vindicated by the outcome of Tuesday's election. Nevertheless, Limbaugh is blaming Gingrich for the defeat. He said, we cannot forget how this whole thing happened in the first place. It was not a primary. That's the Republican talking point.
Right.
The right message would indict the way party bosses, Republican Party bosses, and these big thinkers like Newt screwed the whole thing up and start. The war between Newt and Rush extends back to earlier this year when Gingrich had argued that the era of Reagan is over and Republicans need to be more than simply the party of no.
Yeah.
Dear God, frankly, Newt Gingrich is making sense.
Frankly,
Oh, thank Perfect. God they're not listening to him.
No, screw the whole thing up.
How's that permanent Republican majority working out?
Yeah, how's that going?
And Gingrich still wants to run for president.
Perfect.
And,
and who better?
Don't see it happening in 2012.
Especially since the Republicans are completely split in half now.
Exactly. Seriously, there is going to be a conservative party and a Republican party. See, I really think there's going to be a third candidate.
Not according to Representative Eric Cantor.
I would just say to my Democratic friends across the aisle, they ought to take note of these elections. The American people are not going to take to the negative kind of politics they're trying to practice here.
Oh, we need to be positive and proactive like the Republican Party.
Huh? What?
Wow. And that's just against other Republicans.
Yeah.
In New Jersey, exit poll, 60% of the voters said Obama did not figure in their decision at all, while 57, that's almost 60, Jim, of the Virginia electorate echoed the same sentiment. Robert Gibbs argued the twin Democratic defeats wouldn't scare off moderate Democrats. Obama needs to carry out his legislative agenda. He said, I don't think they will bolt. I'm not concerned. Which is technically true, the only races with national significance were the congressional seats, which we won.
Yes.
He said, I think the data from the gubernatorial races demonstrated that voters went to the polls in those two contests to talk about and work through local issues that did not involve the president. Those were local elections. That's true. I heard, as I mentioned, property tax, a big thing in New Jersey. Gibbs went on to say elements of the Republican Party sought greatly to nationalize the issues in New York, and they lost. It proves anger can get you 45% of the vote. That doesn't win most elections. Yeah, that was great about that guy. He wasn't from there. And apparently, Jim, he got irritated when they would ask him about local issues.
Why would I have to know this stuff? I have an agenda.
And Sarah Palin said he would get that information on the local issues and bring it back
to you.
I'll try to find you some and I'll bring them to you.
So,
did you get a look at that guy? I mean,
he's kind of creepy looking.
Yeah.
Kind of funny looking.
Yeah. Let me give you the fun facts on Creed Deeds, who, by the way, lost because his name is Creed Deeds. Primarily. But this is a point Jim is making all the time. He probably lost, A, he was a bad candidate, B, because he wasn't progressive enough.
Yeah,
as Harry Truman said, when given the choice between a Republican and a Democrat acting like a Republican, they'll choose the real Republican every time.
Well, here's part of the fun facts on the Virginia race. Democrats, the Republican turnout was the same. So it wasn't like there was some big groundswell. Democrats had trouble getting their base to the polls. One possible explanation, Deeds didn't run as progressive.
Exactly.
He distanced himself from Obama's agenda, especially on health and energy policy. By the end of his campaign, he was running ads attacking Obama's clean energy agenda.
Good move.
And saying Obama's cap-and-trade bill would hurt the people of Virginia. Instead of disputing his Republican opponent's false attacks on climate legislation, Deeds amplified them. Yet Republican light is not the answer at this point. During the final gubernatorial debate, Deeds stressed that health reform must reduce costs so more people can afford insurance and increase coverage, but argued that creating the option of a public health care plan isn't required. He also said he would opt out if he were governor of Virginia.
See, the trick is getting your own people to vote for you, not getting the other guys not to vote against you.
Despite union support, Deeds proceeded to campaign against the Employee Free Choice Act. Saying it would put us at a competitive disadvantage, reasserting the false right-wing claim that it would eliminate the secret ballot in union elections.
God.
More than 1 in 10 Virginians are immigrants. Deeds voted alongside his contender, McDonald, to designate English the state's official language, supported denying undocumented immigrants state or local benefits, recently voted in favor of a bill that would have restricted in-state college tuition benefits to undocumented immigrants. Anyway, the point is they're saying a lot of families are mixed. There is a legal, immigrant and perhaps an undocumented one, and he didn't run as a progressive.
And the Hampton Roads accent is the official accent of Virginia now.
Yes, apparently.
57
I'm very, very familiar with that accent. My sister has it.
57 minutes after the hour. Back with Celebrity Stack and more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, about 6 minutes after the hour. The Dow is up 180 points. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. Come live blog with us. Come tweet us, won't you? Or you can email us the old-fashioned way. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice D.D. Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh no. Some breaking.
Right-wing hypocrites.
News on former Miss California homophobe Carrie Prejean.
Yes, this morning, actually.
Tollroad.com is reporting that TMZ is milking the Carrie Prejean sex tape revelation, releasing a few details at a time. The latest snippet relates what happened when Miss California USA lawyers allegedly showed it to her.
Do tell.
Yes, it says, quote, when the video started playing, Carrie's first reaction was, that's disgusting.
Hey,
that's gross. What a skank.
And Carrie denied it was her. Then the camera angle changed and panned up to her face.
Look, I told her not to shoot my face.
She was caught red-handed, so to speak. Carrie was rendered speechless and immediately began talking with her lawyer. We are told it took about 15 seconds for Carrie to drop her $1 million demand.
Carrie, I can play hard. That is... can I speak to Anthony for a second? I think I'm going to be sick.
As I said earlier, turns out she's right. Marriage is between a woman and her dildo.
Come on, Jim Louise Ward.
It just goes to show that you shouldn't be lecturing people about their morality when you've got a tape of yourself masturbating.
I live in a glass house. What?
One might think, I don't mean to be rude, that she's maybe not that bright.
Okay. Like Nancy Pelosi, according to Dennis Miller.
Yeah, but she has a great set of cans.
I just need to get more details. Why do you want someone to videotape you? Touching yourself is all I'm saying. And you know I will give my little prayer again. Dear God, hello. It's former Catholic girl Steffi Miller. Please let it be a girl. Let it be a girl running the camera.
Oh, yeah.
Are you there, God? It's me, Stephanie.
A naked girl.
And then please let her... go to Maine and elsewhere to campaign for gay people to have equal rights. Thank you, God. Okay.
Stephanie, it's been quite a few years. I don't think God's accepting any calls from you.
He put call blocking on several years ago. All right. It's not often future husband stack meets drunk stack.
Oh, really?
This is one of those. And it's also meets the Isn't It Ironic file, ironically enough.
Isn't it ironic?
It's like a black fly in your Chardonnay.
Yes, an Ohio man dressed as a breathalyzer test for Halloween found himself being pulled over by police and charged with DUI. Yes, that's right.
Thought the breathalyzer thing would fool them.
Yeah, so. Throw them off. See, I'm just like... Okay, woman calls, and this is a woman after my own heart in Drunk Stack Park 2. A woman calls 911 to report herself as a drunk driver. And good for her. She reported herself, but apparently she did. The 911 call shows she wanted to says she wants to report a drunken driver. The dispatcher asked if she was behind the suspect vehicle. She said, "I am them." She then followed the dispatcher's advice to pull over and turn on her flashers, telling her that she'd been drinking all night long.
All night long.
Stephanie, that's why you need to have children, so that when you get into this situation...
I can make them drive.
You can make them drive.
Exactly. All right.
I keep telling you that.
Mm-hmm. Get ready to say again. That man in South Carolina, he got 3 years in prison for sex with a horse.
Oh, again?
Yeah. Yes, that guy. Mm-hmm. A South Carolina, here we go again with the video, Jim. A South Carolina man caught on video having sex with a horse was sentenced to 3 years in prison after pleading guilty for the second time in 2 years.
He said, that's not me.
Okay. He had been ordered to not go near the stable again when the horse's owner had caught him and held him by shotgun. He apologized to the woman and it admitted to buggery. Is what Carrie Prejean doing, was that buggery technically or is that something else?
No, that was...
Buggery's only with animals?
Apparently.
Well, no, buggery is, that area.
In the back door, if you will.
I love this. The horse's owner became suspicious because her horse was acting strange.
Yeah.
And getting infections. Ew.
Man. That one made me puke.
What kind of infections?
You don't want to know.
Oh.
I don't really know.
Chlamydia.
I don't know if a horse can get the clap. Maybe the clop.
A horse, of course.
Okay. And she noticed things were...
Clydesdale's got the clop.
She noticed things were moved around the barn and dirt was piled up near the horse's stall, I guess for a better vantage point. Okay, I think this is what Jim told us earlier in the week, isn't it? Aaron Siebers, the 27-year-old Denver man, a Blockbuster employee, was skateboarding when he fell off and ripped his uniform pants due to work. He was concerned about getting written up for not wearing his work-issue khakis. He came up with a better idea. Instead of calling in sick, he stabbed himself in the leg. And then showed up at work claiming to have just been attacked by three Hispanic males.
Oh.
And he, that didn't work. Stabbed himself because he thought that would. All right. Dear God, it's me, Stephanie, again.
Are you there, God? It's me, Stephanie.
Peter, block her number. I don't want to talk to that bitch.
God makes an appearance. God has returned to the Stephanie Miller Show.
God's very gruff. He's like Wilford Brimley.
He's like oatmeal. Fish.
It's the right thing to do.
He's like fish on Barney Miller.
Yeah.
Jim Stevens said he's not particularly religious and is clueless about why an image resembling Jesus Christ keeps appearing on his pickup. He said nearly every morning an image that looks to him like the face of Jesus Christ has appeared in the condensation on the driver's side window of his Isuzu truck. Maybe it's Rosie Perez.
Is yours a twooper?
My Isuzu twooper. He said he first saw the image, he figured it would evaporate and not return, but it kept reappearing for 2 weeks now. He said folks at the grocery store he goes to were amazed to see the image.
What if it's actually an image of Muhammad?
I don't know.
And he misinterpreted
it. I just love that.
Okay.
Yo! Come out here! Jesus is on my truck!
Hey, Jesus is on my truck! Jesus, take the wheel!
See? That's like that song.
All right.
They didn't take the wheel, though.
All right. Little celebrity stack. Brad Pitt says he's in the market for a new motorcycle. He said he trashed his favorite bike recently while trying to escape overzealous photographers. Oh, yeah, sure.
Whatever.
Like he wasn't running away from Angelina and the brood of...
I must breed!
Thousands of... I don't know what they... What kind of... how many children do they have now?
Help
I don't even...
18, please 18 gajillion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow. How's about...
I'm looking for cleaning products.
How's about this story in this economy? An article in the Daily Beast says Nicolas Cage's recent financial problems... Are at least due in part to his outrageous eccentric spending that puts even his most flamboyant fellow celebrities
is eccentric?
To shame. Huh. Yes.
Who'd have thunk?
I know.
Didn't you go to school with him?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
That was someone else. Oh. Anthony Edwards.
Okay.
Stephanie Miller's womb is a rocky place where my seed could find no purchase.
I love that line from Raising Arizona. Yeah.
Okay, here are the fun facts about what he bought. This may or may not explain his financial situation, Jim. He has bought yachts, a jet, a castle, over 50 cars, over $1 million worth of comic books, multiple haunted mansions in New Orleans, two Bahamian islands, in the Bahamas.
Yes. Two
See, that's when you know you've gone too far. All the other stuff's fine. When you start buying islands, then you know you've got a problem.
If he's having money trouble, why isn't he selling these things?
At least wanting your two islands.
Or at least one haunted house.
Shrunken heads.
Shrunken heads?
That may or may not have been human. And famously, a $500,000 Lamborghini owned by the Shah of Iran, formerly.
I think he's made some poor investment decisions.
You think? Cage spent $276,000 on a dinosaur skull in a heated auction with Leonardo DiCaprio. It's a sign that you may be a little out of touch with the common folk.
Yeah.
The article has details about Cage's many pets, claiming he keeps antidote serum on his wall for the poison of his two king cobras, which that's kind of good thinking.
Okay, that's...
That's an investment.
Mm-hmm. And in Gus to mention at least one, he has a pet octopus as well. Hmm. However, this redeems him in my eyes. He gave $1 million to the Red Cross to aid victims of Hurricane Katrina and $2 million to the human rights group Amnesty International.
Good.
So, I can overlook the world.
Some people just have way too much money.
You know, if you buy an island, how do you decorate it? Human skulls. Shrunken heads.
That may or may not be human.
Exactly. All right, let's go to Stephanie and Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steph.
Hey, you guys.
Hello.
Hey, nothing says happy holidays like Glenn Beck. That's just crazy. And his sweater.
And his Christmas sweater.
Or something.
Yes.
Good Lord. And, you know, who are these bastard people that are calling in and saying they don't like your show? And you're
than your guest?
Oh, well, he didn't say he didn't like it. He just asked me if I could say one thing that's intelligent, and I clearly...
What?
He had me there. All right. We were talking about the Maine. I really do need to get on that, Chris. We need to get a campaign going for them to ban lobster in Maine because it is an abomination unto the Lord.
That's right.
And if you're wearing a coat, make sure it's out of one kind of fabric.
Exactly. Yeah.
And don't shave your beard, for God's sakes.
You could use it as a lobster bib. Oh, no.
Here's the Reverend Bob Emmerich. He's the anti-gay marriage opposer in Maine.
People of America believe that marriage is a union of a man and a woman, and it shouldn't be changed, that no one wants to change that. People here in Maine just said yesterday that they agree with the rest of the country.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Maybe he will join our previous guest, John Marcotte's drive out here for the Marriage Protection Act in California, which would ban divorce.
I think that would be a very good idea.
If you're going to put your money where your mouth is.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Charles,
I think a Newt Gingrich might not be in favor of that, frankly.
Charles, nor any Republicans. Charles Moran of the Log Cabin Republicans.
Civil rights historically have not been done through the ballot box, put up to a people's whim. Civil rights for African Americans was not put up to a state-by-state vote. The rights for equality issues for women was not put up to a state-by-state vote. So why would we be any different?
Tim in Madison on this very subject. Hello, Tim.
Exactly. Why are we putting to a state-by-state vote when it really is a national problem where we don't have the same civil rights? And quite frankly, we've been, as a gay man myself, we've been told over and over and over again by the DNC and other Democrats who are running that our issues will come out. They will get to it. We'll get there. We'll get there. And quite frankly, my checkbook is now not running checks anymore to the DNC until we actually get something more done.
Tim, do you, obviously some gay activists are partially blaming the president for not, saying anything about the Maine. You know, Robert Gibbs said the president just typically doesn't and hasn't gotten involved in ballot initiatives, that, you know, if you start doing that, then the president's talking about everything. Do you buy that or no?
Yeah, I do. I don't think the president should be talking about a ballot initiative in a state. I think he should be talking about it at a national level.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that the Democrats who are in that state should have been either for it or against it. The DNC should be putting money to this. This is most of this money that's coming for these gay to defend for gays to get married are coming from. Help from private, everything. I mean, the DNC is not helping us out anything, but yet they always come to, to gay men and women to get money from us.
To ask for money. Yep.
Let's put it this way: we don't have kids. We have a lot of disposable income, so they come to us. And quite frankly, I've been getting sick of supporting.
Yeah, I think quite frankly, the reason Tim California went broke is I think Melissa Etheridge stopped paying her taxes, she threatened to, and that's pretty much our whole GDP there. But she's right, Why should she have to pay the same taxes when she makes some scratch, I'm told, if she doesn't have the same rights?
She makes a little money.
She is also, by the way, the official rock star of the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's right.
20 minutes after the hour. What happens next on gay marriage and on health care reform? Some breaking news on both this morning as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human Prozac. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Four minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Carl in Madison on the healthcare debate. Hello, Carl.
Stephanie, don't have children. If you need a ride, I will come and pick you up.
Okay, thank you. I don't ever leave my house. I drink alone.
Okay.
Thank you.
There's a wine bar in the back of my El Camino, so just keep it in mind. I'm calling because I just want to disclose. I'm a middle-aged conservative that's grown up in the insurance industry all my life. And I've got an opinion on health care, but it's frustrating to me.
What do you mean you've grown up in the insurance industry? You were raised by an insurance company?
Kind of. Yeah, pretty much. I worked in the insurance industry all my life.
Okay, all right.
That's what I'm saying. So 30 plus years.
Okay.
But it's frustrating to me to hear the health care debate, and in my own humble opinion, nobody's telling the facts like they are. You hear people on one side saying the insurance companies are villains, and you hear people on the other side saying the people in power and the government are trying to grab more power. And the truth is, if I can speak just for a couple of minutes about it, what seems to be a solution to me, and speaking a little bit of the defense of the insurance companies, if that would be all right.
I'll give you a very brief period for that, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, from the insurance companies' side, I heard the other day on the news that the insurance industry has gone from paying out 95% of their revenue in the form of benefits to now 85%. And of course, that goes to the accusations of greed and gouging and mistreating sick people. But the truth of where that comes from is that the health insurance industry is so regulated, it is so difficult to make a profit in the health business. There are fewer and fewer companies in the health insurance business all the time.
All right, Carl, that was enough time for that. Okay.
Really? The insurance companies are
Yes, Jim, they're over-regulated, and they have such a hard time making a profit now.
Yeah.
That's why they can barely pay their CEOs
$100 billion a week.
Why are they for-profit companies anyway?
Exactly.
They need to be non-profit organizations.
How are we going to make a profit if we keep having to insure sick people? What the?
That wasn't going to get much time for
me.
The poor insurance companies, Stephanie. How can you? They have so many regulations, Jim. They can barely survive and make a profit in this.
Yeah.
Well, then they should
cold, cruel world.
They could stop spending.
Pack it in.
They could stop spending billions of dollars on lobbyists
and advertising and
CEOs. That's where the money's going. Huh?
And making money by denying people coverage.
Right.
Hi, Mike in Santa Barbara.
Hi. Yeah, boy, profiting off of people's health misfortunes is so immoral. I can't, don't even get me started on that. But
oh, and by the way, the Republicans have come up with a plan, Mike, and it's kind of more of the same.
Yeah, great.
Well, yeah, they can continue to deny on pre-existing conditions. And it actually takes more strictures off the insurance companies, so they're better able to you.
Great.
Well,
yeah.
Well, I've heard some good things about the proposals in the House and the Senate, like getting rid of pre-existing conditions and dropping people for no good reason. But I'm angry and disappointed at the Democrats because, I was calling all my representatives, calling other people's representatives, calling the White House for months. We were in the streets with signs going against the teabaggers, and I can't opt for the public option from what I've heard.
Well, I hear you. But let's not give up the fight just yet. We're actually getting to go time here soon. And I think that, thus far we've seen that you can affect this debate. And we have. So let's not stop now. 28 minutes after the hour, back with Representative John Yarmuth of Kentucky as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller
sits in bars during the day and has conversations with alcoholic beverages.
I'm practicing politics while the businessman slowly gets stoned. Isn't that what everyone does all day?
Everybody must get stoned.
33 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Looks like the House is going to pass a health care bill this weekend, is what we're told. Representative John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky would know. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie.
So are we finally, at long last, sir, going to get a health care bill this weekend? Is that what you're told?
I think we're going to get one sometime late Saturday. I think we have enough votes for final passage. There's a little bit of negotiation to be done yet on getting the bill to the floor. But once it gets there, I think we've got enough votes, and we'll finally get it done. Hooray.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, big breaking news this morning that the AARP will endorse the bill, correct?
Right, exactly. AARP is going to endorse, and the Consumers Union is endorsed. They have not endorsed any piece of legislation in 70 years. They've endorsed this bill. The list is very, very long.
It's going to kind of deflate the right-wing activists that are coming to the Capitol today that are with don'tkillgrandma.com, isn't it?
Well, it is. And, you know, well, there's a funny story here. I don't know if it made the national media, but Michelle Bachmann from Minnesota, who was kind of one of the organizers of this, her chief of staff, resigned day before yesterday and said, when the captain is crazy, it's time to get off the ship.
Yes, no truer words have been spoken.
Right. So, that being said, there are a lot of people around today, but they're very seem to be very calm and respectful. So I don't think it's turning into the craziness that we saw in August.
Now, it's apparently the president is going to the Capitol tomorrow to meet with you guys, with House Democrats, on a final pitch for the health care legislation. Is that just a final pep talk? What's that going to be?
Well, I think there are probably some people who, you know, I'm not sure the issue is totally resolved. We think we have the vote. You never know for sure. So I think it's probably to just kind of strengthen the spines a little bit of some of the members. You know, one of the things that we're trying to emphasize in some of our members who are wavering a little bit is that in the two elections on Tuesday where health care was actually an issue, the voters voted for the people who were for health care reform.
Yep, thank you.
I mean, it's really important, particularly in New York, where that district has not been won by Democrats since 1872. It's a long time.
Yeah.
And that was the issue. The conservative attacked the Democrat on health care reform. He was a staunch supporter, Mr. Owens, of what we're doing, and defended that position.
Thank you. And the Democrat, and by the way, Congressman, the Democrat that got trounced in Virginia said that he would opt out of the public option if he were governor of Virginia.
Right. Exactly right.
You know, your colleague, Jerry Conley, the congressman from Virginia, said, you know, he said we have to pass health care. The message I took away from Tuesday's talking is we should make sure we give Democrats something to be excited about. That's the problem, is Democrats didn't turn out Tuesday, correct, in Virginia?
Nothing could be more true. And I think this is the thing that we've been emphasizing time after time. If you are a Democrat, and you've got to share the value that's reflected in this bill, and that's what people sent us here to do. And if we don't do it, they are going to stay home.
Yep, absolutely.
And you're shooting yourself in the foot if you think that by voting against it, you're going to enhance your reelection prospects.
And I can't believe at this late date, Congressman, we're still arguing with Democrats. Representative John Conyers yesterday.
There is no money for federal money for abortion services in the health care reform.
Is that going to be resolved today, that last issue?
I hope so. I mean, there's some people we're never going to get on board here, and I discussed this with Bart Stupak on Hardball last week, and you know, they just want to see all insurance coverage for abortion ended, period. That's really the impact of what they want done. Even though what they say is we just want the status quo, and what we have in the bill is the status quo, there will be no new subsidies for any coverage of abortion. But they say if you are subsidizing an insurance policy / an insurance company that then provides abortion coverage, then you're subsidizing abortion. And that's the same thing as saying if a hospital gets any federal funds and an abortion happens to be performed there, that you're subsidizing abortion. And you could take that to an absurd extreme if you believe in that philosophy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But we've agreed, you know, the language is clear. We segregate the money so that no taxpayer dollars can be used to buy that coverage. The problem, of course, is that if you do what they want to do, then you've essentially prohibited any woman buying coverage, individual coverage, from buying coverage that includes abortion. So,
right, which is a legal, you know, medical procedure, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Congressman, so, you know, I'm trying to be fair here. The Republicans have finally come forth with an alternative plan.
I'm glad you brought that up.
I'm glad that you giggled. There is no, companies can still drop you for having a pre-existing condition, and they seem to have further removed restrictions from the insurance companies. Insurers, as I read this one part of the plan, insurers can ignore all of the consumer protection laws and restrictions on rate changes.
Great.
They're trying to cast this as, oh, you can buy across states and that'll increase blah, blah, blah. Well, it's just another thing that helps the insurance companies, doesn't it?
This was written in the insurance company lobbyist office, just like the prescription drug legislation was written in the pharmaceutical offices. Morton Kondracki, who is certainly no progressive, called the bill a charade, and I think that's really all you need to say.
There you go.
Would not bring any new people into the system. They said maximum it might insure 3 million people. That's because they would go into a high risk pool, not because they would necessarily have good insurance.
I think you're right. I think your giggle said it all, Congressman. Thanks so much for taking time.
Okay, Stephanie.
All right, Congressman. Thank you. You too. Let's go to Alan in Oklahoma City on Michelle, that crazy Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann's little whatever it is today in the Capitol. Her little skit. Hi, Alan.
Hey, Stephanie. Love the show.
Thank you.
Anyway, I made an ill-advised move to listen to a conservative radio station on the break, and I heard Michelle Bachmann on the Exome America Right, and she was saying that the teabaggers that have Obama as Hitler work for Acorn and the ACLU.
What?
How about that?
Well, that's completely untrue. Okay.
It sounds like she's just trying to make a right-wing talking point shepherd's pie. Throwing everything into it.
Let me give you a little time-saver tip. Everything you hear on the conservative stations is untrue. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. It's fine if you're listening for entertainment. We're just saying. Okay.
I dare say we're more entertaining than they are.
Mm. We have facts with Slide Whistle. Joanne in Miami.
Facts with Slide Whistle.
Thank you, Jim. That's what I said. Joanne in Miami, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, Stephanie. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I think that we homos should secede from the United States, and it would be called the State of Fabulous.
All right.
No non-fabulous people allowed.
Exactly.
It would be tastefully appointed, and everybody's cards would be properly tuned.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Softball games every day.
And golf.
Golf.
Listen,
golf.
A lesbian owns the Chicago Cubs now. Anything is possible.
That is true.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Maybe they'll start winning.
42
minutes. Can't get any worse.
42 minutes after the hour. What's next on Gay Marriage as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show?
And we'll be right back.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Headbang with us. 46 minutes after the hour.
I love this song.
1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Oh, breaking news from Cub reporter Chris Lavoie.
It appears that according to BumpShack.com.
Oh, my favorite. Shack.
Yes. Miss California Carrie Prejean is Michael Phelps's girlfriend.
Oh, really?
So maybe he was the one holding the camera and a bong in the other hand.
That is entirely possible. So, yeah, that's just speculation and conjecture here. But, if we felt we needed to report that.
God, don't videotape me. What are you, high?
Yeah.
God, this cat's out. I am screwed again. All right. And then somebody tweeted us.
Sci Guy tweeted me at Radio Guy Chris. That's all Carrie Prejean was trying to do. Was put the candle back.
Put the candle back.
Listen to me very carefully. Put the candle back.
As Jim has said, and I think it's worth repeating, Jim, that marriage, it's proved one thing.
Oh, that's marriage. Yeah, marriage is between a woman and her dildo. That's clearly.
Would you please stop saying that word? I'm not entirely sure you can say that.
Sex toy?
And as I mentioned earlier, I know the anti-gay marriage people are doing it for the children. I'm just saying there are two straight people I know shouldn't have children, and that is my parents, who produced a werewolf Lockport, New York, as we saw from my high school pictures, which surfaced this week. Speaking of delightful, funny things on the internet, Larry and Lynn in Mama's hometown of Lockport, New York, Steph. We live up here on East Avenue in Lockport by the hospital. You know, by the hospital on East Avenue.
Is that anywhere near the Sales Catholic High?
Yes.
Is it really?
I saw your high school pictures you mentioned this morning and couldn't help but giggle. Oh, hush.
The wolf in team's clothing.
Just because somebody from the library found it. Pictures of me as a small Republican wolf child.
Oh, wolf.
An explanation is probably long overdue.
You were dressed as a bush.
The most egregious abuses of medical research, creating human-animal hybrids.
Appropriately. Yes. That was a Halloween costume. Lockport, New York.
No!
Steve in Canton, Ohio, on Gay Marriage. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Steph. How's it going?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. Hey, I was thinking gay people ought to stop paying any taxes that support the probate courts, since they're being denied the right, the access to
marriage. Yeah. Well, as I said, Melissa Etheridge and other people have brought that up. It's like, hey, maybe I'll stop paying my taxes if I don't get the same rights. To which I say, yeah. All right. Time Magazine with a gay marriage article. Very interesting. Maine's, they voted 53-47, getting closer, I guess a silver lining, to reject gay marriage. That is, unfortunately, that is, it's now more than 30 straight state elections. Gay marriage has gone down to defeat. Scott Fish of the Stand for Marriage Maine, organization.
Oh.
Said, what's the hurry for gay marriage? See, that's, can you imagine saying to, you know, what's the hurry for you chicks to vote, or you black people, or
whatever?
I guess easy for him to say, because he has all the rights, accorded by the Constitution. One of the nation's top lawyers involved in the campaign to legalize gay marriage said, ultimately, this is going to have a national resolution. It's about aligning promises found in the Constitution with America's laws. And I agree. There's somebody... I wanted marriage music here, not that.
Okay, sorry.
Anyway, because that's what somebody was saying, is just this is the whole thing about putting minority rights to a majority rule. It doesn't matter what the issue is.
Mm-hmm.
That's why this is important. Here's another silver lining. 8,000 volunteers manned the campaign to keep same-sex marriage in Maine. Most of them not gay. Still with the loss in Maine, the focus turns back now to out here in California.
California.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's where former U.S. Solicitor General Ted Olson and David Boies have brought their suit, insisting that the U.S. Constitution forbids any law that prohibits gay marriage. Maine was supposed to be different. To begin with, it was the first state to legalize gay marriage by statute and with the governor's support. When the unprecedented new law was challenged, supporters hoped that political backing from the governor, coupled with Maine's traditionally independent mindset, would provide the breakthrough that gay marriage supporters have been waiting for. So
they can't get there from here.
No, we can't get there from here on gay marriage, apparently.
Yeah.
You're missing the point of the story.
Nah, we just wanted a chance to do a Maine accent. Come on.
Mark in Chicago on gay marriage. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Stephanie.
Yes.
I'm calling because in 1996, Barack Obama gave an interview to one of the local gay press newspapers here in Chicago where he pledged, quote, unequivocal support for gay marriage, and he vowed to fight any effort to ban it. And then, of course, in 2008, he had completely had a revelation and found God and said his relationship was sacred and that marriage was between a man and a woman. So I want to support Tim, who called in the last half hour from Madison, that we really, the gay community needs to stop assuming that the Democrats are our friends and quit being
Much more your friends than Republicans. I don't see it, Stephanie. What's that?
I don't see it.
Well, I mean, I share your frustration at all this. I know what their point is. The president doesn't get involved in ballot initiatives anywhere. But I do wish he would be more outspoken about this, whether it's don't ask, don't tell or whatever. But maybe when we get health care reform passed, we'll see. Meanwhile, the big teabagger health care thing is, how's that going so far, Chris? How's the crowd looking in D.C.?
They're looking at whites of eyes.
The stunning Steve King from Iowa, as Michelle Bachmann calls him.
Every single time she refers
to him.
He's
so stunning. Have you seen him? He's just stunning. Right, stunning, Steve?
She is such a whore.
She is a whore. Oh, my God, I saw a picture of her husband.
Yes, isn't he fabulous?
Did you see that same picture?
What are you implying?
I've seen several pictures of him where he just smiles really intensely. Like, everything he does.
He has a Ted Haggard-esque sort
very,
of.
Yes.
Like Tom Cruise.
He's very, very enthusiastic.
Is it always showtime?
Jazz hands.
And he bought his wife a lovely pantsuit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, speaking of his lovely wife, Michelle Bachmann, the Truthometer has listed her latest thoughts on healthcare, a pants on fire lie.
Oh, really?
Yes. Her statement that the healthcare bill says specifically that people can't purchase private health insurance after a date certain, Truthometer verdict.
Liar, 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 pants on. Whoa.
For those of us keeping score, this is the seventh time PolitiFact has checked out a Bachmann claim, and the seventh time it has been found to be...
a lie.
Pants wow. constantly on fire. That's
why I have to take
pretty,
them off. That's whenever pretty, I'm...
That's why she takes them
whenever
off so much.
Whenever I'm interviewing a right-wing radio host, I'm naked, because my pants are on fire from all the lies.
You, all sir, right. are a liar. Liar, liar, your pants... are on fire!
Okay, anyway, her good friend, the stunning Steve King, he praised the lobbyists coming today as Paul Revere. He said that he thanked lobbyists for bringing in buses from state after state. He likened them to Revolutionary War hero Paul Revere for answering the call of your country. He said if the founding fathers could stand here tonight, the tears would be running down their cheeks thinking...
Oh, God.
People are dropping what's important today. It's that Paul Revere had ridden across America and said, here's the call. Here's the call of your country. Okay.
What?
I don't know. I don't know. As we've mentioned a couple of times on the show, Michelle, bat crazy Michelle Bachmann, her main aide has quit.
Not her aide in Maine.
Her Veteran Hill aide.
Okay, her head aide.
Has announced that she is leaving. A conservative Republican House member speaking on the condition of anonymity, as most people who are Republicans do today, suggested that Bachmann's views and her willingness to state them might make it hard for her to keep staff. When your captain's crazy, it's time to find a new ship, he said.
You know, I go there and I fit right to their eyes and tell them, get your hands off my health care or I'll shoot.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of right-wing dopes, Sarah Palin.
Oh, jeez.
On her Facebook page, said she's very excited about the upcoming road trip to promote her book. And she said Variety is the spice of life, Jim, so she's going to be interviewed by almost every Fox News host.
Except for Shepard Smith.
Yeah.
Yes.
You might ask some actual questions.
Yeah.
She writes on her page, I'm also hoping, she actually literally says also hoping.
Darn right.
To have the opportunity to talk with Bill O'Reilly, Barbara Walters. Oh, she threw Barbara Walters in there.
Okay.
Sean Hannity, Greta Van Susteren, Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, Mark Levin, Laura Ingraham, Dennis Miller, Tammy Bruce, and others. So a wide variety.
So she only wants softball questions.
And also local Alaska personalities Bob and Mark and Eddie Burke. Well, they're very good.
Oh, so I hear.
She's going to follow the same strategy of only talking to people
that will ask her softball questions.
Like her.
That's her winning strategy for 2012.
Right-wing dope, part two. Representative Joe Uli Wilson.
Yes.
He said he agreed with Cheney. Remember when Cheney said the president is dithering over Afghanistan? He said on an interview with World Net Daily Radio, now there's got to be a fine...
They have an entire station?
Radio broadcast. He said, I actually agree with Vice President Cheney that the president is dithering. I had to look up what dithering meant, and it's indecisive. And that's what the president's being. All right, Joe, thank you.
Wow.
He went on.
Turns out there's something called a dictionary where you can look up words you don't understand.
He went on to say, durr! Okay.
You have to know how to spell them first, which could be a problem.
What a dope. Okay.
You lie! Sorry, this is a reflex.
Sorry. That's it for us today. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward. We'll see you tomorrow on the... Oh, and associate producer, Rebecca Baker.
Yes.
Who runs the whole thing.
Yeah, she does. She really does.
Yes.
John Fugelsang will join us tomorrow in studio.
Yes, on the Stephanie Miller Show.